This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Bethel GCI customers experienced intermittent internet connectivity on Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. The problem could have been caused by a break in a subsea fiber optic cable. GCI discovered the cable break on Tuesday in Cook Inlet near Kenai. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports. The company asks customers to notify them if they have issues in the future.
GCI has constructed its network in a series of rings. Vice President of GCI Communications, Heather Handyside, says that when a break occurs in one area of a ring, the signal reroutes in the other direction.
And so sometimes when we do that, it can interrupt service because we are switching the amount of capacity between our fibers or the strands within the network. And so it is possible that if there were slower internet speeds in Bethel, it could have been a result of the fiber.
Handyside says it's difficult for the company to determine the extent of disruption in Bethel. GCI received only 8 reports of internet service issues on Tuesday and Wednesday. However, reports on social media indicate a greater number of people experienced problems. Handyside encourages more people to report these issues directly to GCI when they occur.
It helps us kind of identify what the issues are that people are experiencing and can help us pinpoint what the problem might be and how we can resolve it.
Of course, connectivity problems can be a barrier to even being able to report these issues.
It's true. So we try to, we communicate with our customers, via landline, via cell phone call. We have chat available on our website and we can connect to our folks with email as well. So we try to have a lot of options available. But I know that can be frustrating if you're having communications challenges.
Handyside says reporting issues after they occur is also helpful for GCI to identify ongoing problems in a community. As far as the broken subsea fiber goes, GCI does not know what caused the break, saying in a press release that it could have been damaged by a variety of man-made equipment and natural causes. Repairs to the fiber may have to wait until ice conditions improve. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Next, in education. Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration has been discussing plans for possible legislation with federally recognized tribes that will allow for educational tribal compacts in Alaska. During a talking and listening session last month, the governor gave examples of what that could look like in rural Alaska communities. KNOM's Joe Coleman reports.
Department of Education Project Coordinator and Tribal Liaison Joel Isaac describes exactly what tribal compacting is.
A compact is an agreement that is between government, and it allows for flexibility through the negotiation process by creating a unique, tailored agreement that can meet specific needs of a situation.
When asked about the specifics of educational compacts, Isaac had this to say.
So in this case, the need is education, and it allows for the innovation and flexibility at a systemic level for tribes and local communities to be able to address the educational needs for themselves.
Western Alaska has not utilized educational compacts to create new state tribal educational compact schools, or STECs, before. But even if this becomes an option through upcoming legislation, there are concerns about implementation. Bering Strait School District, for example, currently does not have plans to implement a STEC school. As BSST Superintendent Bobby Bolden explains, there are some challenges that can hinder a district wanting to start one of these schools.
We have talked about in the past some type of language immersion school, but in a district the size of ours, it's difficult. Where do you locate it? Is there land available either in the villages or, by bringing them to Unicleed or even Nome, the central location? Some of the challenges is obviously housing. Is it boarding school? It's tough to board K-3 students, without parents and things like that.
Nome Public Schools Superintendent Jamie Burgess weighs in on the added challenges stacked against creating a tribal school in Nome.
Part of our challenge is which tribe would be responsible. Will it be Nome Eskimo community? Would it be, with the Solomon and Council and, Wales? Weigh in. We have a lot of our students that are here that are part of the school district that are actually from many of our surrounding villages. So would it be a consortium somehow?
Even if NPS had a plan to implement a STEC, compacting discussions between the governor's office and tribes have not progressed further. In an email, Rochelle Lindley, the public information officer for the Department of Education and Early Development, states that there has been no new progress since the discussion sessions in Anchorage and Fairbanks last month. But the conversation about educational tribal compacts could continue in the legislature this month. Senator Gary Stevens has pre-filed SB 136, which, in its current version, allows for admissions and employment to prioritize tribal members at STECs. It also mandates that, quote, not later than 1 year after the effective date of this act, the Commissioner of Education and Early Development shall establish an application and approval process of state tribal education compacts, end quote. This bill is scheduled to be introduced on the floor of the Alaska House during the second regular session. Sandra Kowalski, Director of Indigenous Programs at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and former K-12 principal, speaks to why tribal compacting is desired in the first place.
Quite often our students are in classrooms that reflect a curriculum and a language and an approach that doesn't reflect who they are and where they come from.
Isaac echoes Kowalski's sentiment, adding that in the education realm, compacting allows families to be more engaged as well. While there is no plan to create a new school in Western Alaska under a potential tribal compact, Burgess says the plan for an Inupiaq immersion kindergarten class in Nome is still on track to start next year. She goes on to stress that compacting is voluntary, referencing Bethel's immersion school Iapoon Litnervik as an example of what can be implemented through tribal compacting. While the future of educational compacting is in the legislature's hands and the timeline remains uncertain, the public can still go to the Deeds website to share their input on the process. Reporting in Nome, I'm Joe Coleman.
And finally, Bethel Warriors varsity boys and varsity girls teams each played two games against the Barrow Whalers this weekend. It was the last home games for the varsity Bethel girls team. In their first matchup, the Lady Warriors fell to Barrow 44-59, and in the last home game, lost to the Whalers 37-61. The Bethel boys team in their first game cut the lead from 20-9, but ultimately fell to Barrow 55-66. They also lost the second game 74-87. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.